Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Kaya Talk.
Kaya Talk.
How much more?
On the street.
Information does anybody need?
On the air.
Calvin Ratlad, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you very much, Pamela.
Geez, so you decided on a seminal work.
Yes.
Breakfast with Mugabe, which is a play by Miss Grace. Why did you pick this particular piece of work?
It's actually Mr. Fraser Grace. I read the play quite years ago, and there was something unsettling around how we've looked into the revered leader called Robert Mugabe. And for me, it was something that really struck me in a certain way. There was just this chord in me that felt that this play was looking into the human psyche of Robert Mugabe. And I became very much interested in how that is. And I was more interested in reimagining it with a touch of African spirituality of the man.
Mm. I mean, I was wondering how you went about deciding on the cast, because, boy, you got a stellar cast. You got really, really fantastic cast, and I could not fault them. Mm. What were you looking for in the actor?
Oh, if there's any process of looking for actors for this work, it was this one. It took forever. Mm. And interestingly enough, I started with the bodyguard.
Really?
Very specific around the bodyguard's role, because for me, that person doesn't just carry or doesn't come to be a bodyguard, but also becomes the central intelligent officer in this household.
Mm.
And for me, I needed someone strong who'd understand their presence is not just on physique and what, but also around the intelligence of protecting someone who's running the state.
Mm.
And then I moved on to look for the psychiatrist, because the psychiatrist also is a very much big character in the show. I auditioned one person for the psychiatrist, and I was like, this is him. I need not see any other people. This is it. And I still look back and I'm like, yes, definitely.
That
I
is
was on the right track. Then, yeah, mostly, yes, there were suggestions, but you know, when you're looking for something. But also for me, I think when I do rehearsals, I'm not interested in what you bring only as an experienced actor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking into, can you listen? Can you listen to direction? And that's the kind of people you want in the room. You know that they already have experience, they are seasoned, but can they listen?
Mm.
And that's what I was looking for, people who can listen, because they do not just come to listen to Calvin giving direction, but also have to listen to where the story wants to go.
Because it's such a big piece, I mean, it's a big piece, as you said, Fraser, a Grace. This play, you know, has its own reputation, and it's a big play. What were your, I wouldn't say concerns, but did you come in here with some hesitations?
For some reason, there was none. I think for me, it was... It's for the first time this play has been reimagined in Africa. And I felt like it's very important to also really ground it and bring it where to the continent that it's rooted in. And for me, I knew that the previous stagings might have not had as much access as we have as Africans.
Mm.
And but at the same time was also, where do we balance that palette of this work being so reputable and at the same time not simplifying it or dumbing down to what initially Fraser had when creating this work.
So there's the element of bringing it to the continent, then there's you bringing yourself to the work.
Yes. I think in my work I've always been interested in stories around power, memory, and ancestral voices. And this play for me has those themes, which initially might not be seen by other people, but for me, I was like, I think there's something in this this play. There's something more than what is being referred to as paranoia or a psychological, a Western psychological.
Did you concern yourself with how it'll be received by Zimbabweans?
I've sat with that a lot. Also, at some point, we did consider what it means to actually cast people from Zimbabwe doing this work, because we do have a lot of Zimbabwean actors in South Africa. And for me, also, that was important. And I had to make choices around that. And I did think a lot, but at the same time, I was like, this play comments a lot on the global leadership at this moment.
Yeah.
And it's fortunate or unfortunate that in this case we look into someone like Robert Mugabe as that point of entry into this conversation.
Yeah. In fact, you know, timing is everything. So I see how when he was still alive, it would be a very different play.
Yes.
That, you know, it is right now after his passing, and also after a little bit of time has passed, and where geopolitics is exactly where it is right now. It makes for a very, very different play. So the themes that come through, one sees them with a new lens because of where we are right now.
Yes, yes. I agree. And also I had to acknowledge to a certain extent, Pamela, that as much as we do this story, this man is no longer alive.
Yes.
Henceforth, there are moments that, I don't want to share or spoil things for the public, but you see that there's an acknowledgement that this figure is no longer here.
Can I just say, it's funny. I mean, I kept thinking, is it just me who thinks it's funny? But I found myself laughing through what may not be obvious funny moments, but I thought it was quirky and funny. And I think a lot of it rested on the ability of the actors to rise to that occasion. And sometimes, not obviously, but, you know, show us the ridiculousness of some moments.
Which
was absolutely brilliant.
Which is very much those things, interestingly enough, Pamela, they might not seem like they're scripted, but at the same time, those are the people.
Yes.
We can go to all everything that's existing in the archive around these figures, and we'll find them, and you'll realize we've actually done our research. Even the kind of way they speak, how there's certain
mannerisms,
nuances, but also there was a negotiation of where, how much creative license as artists can we take to really tell the story, but at the same time with very much compassion.
I must say, I mean, you've won lots of awards as a playwright, as a director, as an actor, but I must say that I think one of the things that makes you stand out is your attention to detail.
Oh, yes.
It comes through a lot in this play. I mean, I suppose someone can come and sit and just watch and it's a great play.
Yeah.
But there is definitely a distinct identity in you directing this play. It comes through a lot. And so it's fantastic.
I always tell my performers that as a director, my duty is also to decide on every millisecond, as much as it's a 1 hour 30 minutes play.
Yeah.
Every millisecond I have to decide.
Yeah.
Because that's what the public is also going to receive.
Yeah.
And it's important for us not to take these stories for granted, because I've seen the power of storytelling in my life.
Yeah.
And henceforth, I think I'm in this medium.
One can tell it's been directed by an actor. One can tell it's been directed by a playwright. One can tell it's been directed by a director's director. So you can. It comes through, because to your point about not taking for granted every step, every move, every inflection, we can see that there are a lot of thought has been taken into just little things, and it is appreciated.
Thank you.
Especially for holding the attention of an audience that sits through a big piece like this for so long.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because one of my biggest challenges, and I always said from beginning, that this play is easy for someone to imagine it as a kitchen sink or talking heads. And one of our biggest challenges was to find that world that really keeps the audience in their seats without them feeling like, no, now they are just speaking and we are listening to things that we can even go and Google.
I must say, I mean, we often speak about what we obviously see, the public is interested in, the actors and so on.
Yes.
However, I want to say that your musical director did a fantastic job on this one. There is, I mean, you rely a lot on sound.
Yes.
Your sound people are fantastic. So they really make the play come alive in ways that without the brilliance of their work,
yes,
you would have lost a lot.
A lot. Interestingly enough, our composer is Matthew McFarlane. He joined us quite a few days ago. Yes, because my previous composer, something happened and we ended up not being able to work with him. And it's so interesting how Matthew really listened. Mm. And also I told him that, please, in you listening and trying to meet the deadlines and what, also listen to yourself and the process. Don't rush yourself. We will have a bit of time to clean up then.
Yeah. The music was, for me, another character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No. The sound, it's another character. And we had to sit and think around how this world also thinks and sounds like as a musicality. And that's what we try to do. And sometimes I would listen to certain parts of sound. I would say, no, this is definitely not in the world.
And I must say, it's the one thing that distinguishes it from where it's been before to where it is right now.
Yes.
You can tell the sound engineer was a black man.
Yes,
was
yes,
an African person.
Oh, definitely African.
You can tell.
Yes,
definitely
without
African,
a doubt.
Without
that,
a doubt.
Yeah. The beautiful thing was also to do research on what kind of instruments are very much used in Zimbabwe, so that we start our understanding of creating sound from that, not just bringing guitars, pianos, and rooting it in Zimbabwe.
No, and again, a man. I could hear it's a man who's put it together, not just a woman. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
It's
very
well
much.
Executed.
Thank you.
It is sensitive too.
Very
which
sense.
Is a very difficult balance to have in a piece like this.
Yeah.
So well done, Kelvin.
Thank you very much.
For you to get a Standard Bank Young Artist Award right now in your career, what does that mean for you?
It means finally I get to be recognized for the stories that I've been telling, but the stories also that I am only about to tell.
Yes, I think
so. I was
so too.
Telling a lot of few of my friends that I think I look forward to telling the next stories beyond this recognition. And it gives me that space and also not necessarily affirmation, but that space of the impulses, the talent, everything that you work with, that we've embodied from home and everything is really materializing, but also gets to be experienced by more wider audiences. I think we take for granted impact.
And I mean, to your point, I think, you know, a lot of people don't get to see the grafting behind the scenes, the many years of honing your craft, of building your work. And when a moment like this comes, for me, it's like, ah, so the blossoming can happen. And I think that's a moment like that for you. I'm so grateful that this will then allow more people to experience your work. You are going to do more, and I can't wait.
No, definitely. A lot of people are like, you're creating a show on the Standard Bank and you're not performing. But I know also people expect that you create on self and also now being on TV and it's a moment that you could actually be doing this together. But I made a choice that let me do this work. This is a work that is screaming in my life. And can I really, push it and try to tell it as much as any other human would love to experience.
Two shows here at the National Arts Festival. If you're in Makanda, two shows only. But
it's five shows.
So go to the app and have a look and book your seats. But it's also going to the market.
Yes, it's going to the market from the 16th of July till the 10th of August.
Which is where we'll be. We'll see you there as well.
Yes, please do come.
It's excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Kelvin, thank you so much for your time.
Kaya Talk.
How much more?
On the street.
Information does anybody need?
On the air.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.